Well, my friends, another year has passed. We are standing again on the eve of Yom HaKippurim, the Day of Atonement, the most sacred day of the Jewish calendar. And I'm going to do something that no rabbi should do. I have a rabbinical student here, so Sarah, I want to tell you what you're about to witness, don't ever attempt. I have written out a sermon, really, and you can come look at it if you want to later. But my heart isn't in it. And I've known you for 19 years, so I'm going to just tell you what's on my mind. It's not what I prepared. I did prepare something. But it's not what we need to do tonight. So, will you let us move where the Spirit moves us tonight? Thank you. So, what is it we're doing here? What is the soul struggle that brings us out in the evening to spend the next 24 hours pouring ancient words into our heart, singing beautiful songs with our mouths, gathering together in this beautiful hall? This has been a challenging and brutal year for so many of us on so many levels. I don't need to tell you, but we have lost many beloved people in this community, around the world, in the larger community, people whose souls filled our heart, many of whom filled these seats, who are not with us here tonight. And we're broken by their absence. Our nation has endured the most vicious and challenging election cycle. There's plenty of blame to go around. I'm not pointing at anyone in particular. I'm pointing at everybody. But the things that American politicians have said about other American politicians, the things that American citizens have said about other American citizens, the people who feel threatened and at risk and insecure, who never thought they would be so assaulted in public with such ease before, are legion. And that leaves us all adrift. Each of us has our own private fears, our private heartbreaks, struggling with elderly parents, struggling with being an elderly parent, struggling with children who can't find their way or have not yet found their way, struggling with career issues, not enough job, too much job, the wrong job, the fork in the road, and what do I do? And we come to this day with a rawness and a yearning and an aspiration that somehow in the next 24 hours we will sort things out, that somehow we will feel God's grace. We will feel bathed in love and in wisdom and belonging that will make the world less cold and less lonely and less brutal. But this is a brutal night. And so I want to speak to you about some of the things our tradition says about Yom HaKippurim, Yom Kippur, that we have forgotten. We treat this day as melancholy, as a day of dirges and a day of sorrow and a day of suffering, when in fact, Yom HaDin is Rosh Hashanah, the day of judgment, was last time we were all together. And Yom HaKippur, this is a day of cleansing. This is a day on which our sins are washed away. So can we live in that moment with each other? Can we think about what that might feel like? For a moment, act as though we are Jews who believe that. That our sins can be washed away by what we do together over the next 24 hours. that the anxieties that cripple us, the anger and the rage we have been carrying with us for weeks or years or decades, it does not have to determine our path moving forward. Each of us are defined by multiple relationships that shape who we are. We are someone's child. We are someone's spouse, perhaps, or someone's lover, hopefully the same person. Some of us are someone's parent, or uncle, or aunt. We may be someone's grandparent, or about to become someone's grandparent, not yet with us. Some of us are mourning loved ones who are no longer with us physically, but they live in our hearts, they live in our words and in our memories. We are our education. We are the friends we made in our childhood, in our teen years, in our adulthood. We are the neighborhood we live in. We are the part of the synagogue we sit in. We are our professional titles and degrees. We are all of these things every day of the year, except for today. On Yom Kippur, we are invited to be like an angel. What does that mean? It means that angels don't have connections. Angels don't have parents or brothers or sisters. Angels don't have a neighborhood or a community. They just are themselves individual. And so we enter into Yom Kippur and we step aside from the multiple relationships that define us, because sometimes when we allow ourselves to be defined by our relationships, we forget who we are meant to be, who we are when we are just alone with ourselves. And so for the next 24 hours, I invite each of us to step outside of our titles and our labels and our connections and to just be the naked soul we were when we were born. Without a label, without a community, not alone, but unique, just you. And in that space of just you, to take advantage of what this sacred occasion offers us. Now I'm going to do a second thing you should never do on a high holiday. I'm going to teach a little Kabbalah. So in Jewish mysticism, the mystics speak about God through the metaphor of Sfirot. There are 10 different ways that divinity percolates into the world. Now, I hide behind the fact that Rabbi Wolpe did it first. So the highest of the Sfirot is Ein Sof. Ein Sof is even above the Sfirot. There are no limits, as the Hebrew Ein Sof means, without limit. God, as God is transcendent, is beyond all human recognition, all capacity to speak or conceive or think. Anything we say about God, anything, is false, because it falls so far short of the divine that blasts through all human conception. And the lowest of the Sfirot, the one closest, most carnal, most material, most in this world, is Shekhinah. You will recognize Shekhinah from the Hebrew word that also means neighborhood, because Shekhinah is that aspect of God that dwells with us and among us. Now, one of the things the Kabbalists did was that they assigned major holidays. You guys can come on in. It's okay with me. Really. Come on in. Sit down. They assigned different holidays to the Sfirot to teach us something about the holidays. So the holiday that is ultimately Shekhinah holiday, that is Shabbat, the Sabbath. Right? You know, because every week we talk about how Shekhinah is unified. The brokenness of God comes together when we light the Shabbat candles. So Shabbat, the most indwelling part of God, that part of God that is most visible among us, That's Chinah, Shabbat. And it is tonight Shabbat. But that aspect of God that is Yom HaKippurim, the holiest day of the year, that's all the way up at the top, at Keter, the very highest of the Sefirot. That part of God that is impossible to conceive, impossible to describe. Now here comes the paradox of Shekhinah and Keter and Ein Sof. Shekhinah is all about receiving. She only holds the light of the higher aspects of the divine that flow to her, through her, to us. So to relate to her, you have to be in a giving mood. But the highest aspect of God, Keter, is only about giving. There's no receiving. And to relate to that, you have to be in a giving mood. Now, Yom Kippur, the rabbis teach us, happened after the giving of the Torah. Which is the holiday on which we celebrate the giving of the Torah? It's not a trick question. It's in the summertime. Right? Shavuot is when we celebrate the giving of the Torah. But what's the holiday for receiving the Torah? Well, my friends, that, it turns out, is Yom Kippur. Because this is the festival, according to the rabbis, that took place when Moses argued with God to forgive the Jewish people. You remember after the sin of the calf? And God wants to wipe out the Jews, and Moses says, "You can't do it. You have to forgive these people. I won't let you walk away unless you forgive these people." And what does God say? It's in our liturgy tonight. We started our service with it. Right? That God forgives us. Salachti kidvarecha. I forgive you as you have spoken. This is the day for which our ancestors received forgiveness because they were capable of receiving Torah. But you can only receive if you stand unencumbered. You stand alone. And when you stand alone in your own frailty, in your own fear, in your own anger, and your own magnificence, well, then the divine opens up because God speaks to the broken heart. And God speaks to the lonely, and God speaks to the frail. God is in your breath. So can we muster the courage over the next 24 hours to just be ourselves? Not our labels, not our relationships, not our connections, just purely souls born into the world alone. Even as we will die alone, we don't die with others, we do it on our own. But what our tradition teaches us in our moments of greatest aloneness, well, we're never alone. Because into that oneness comes the one who is beyond all description and all definition. When we stand in our uniqueness, then the one who is unique is most manifest in us as promise, as potential, as hope. So listen, my holy brothers and sisters, on this most sacred night in our calendar, we are invited like God to be echad, to be one, to be our truest self, not the mask we wear to the world the rest of the year, not the person we try to pretend we are in public, but really, honestly, nakedly, who we are when we are just each of us. And then in that moment of greatest vulnerability and greatest possibility, well, then the divine rushes right in to say, Salachti kidvarecha, I have forgiven you just as you asked. Shabbat Shalom.